Thank you, sir. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. It's a joy, what a wonderful privilege to be in God's house, to hear God's word. And I wish I could just hug the neck of every one of you, except some of you ugly men. I wouldn't even get around you. But I have two special people I want to recognize, my dear friends, Barry Templeton and his wife. Been dear friends for a long time, Barry. Been a great friend to me. And they're back there with my wife, who, by the way, will celebrate with me 63 years of marriage on Tuesday this coming. Wow. I've said it before, let me say it again. I know I don't look that old, but if you got it, flaunt it. What a joy to have God's word with us this morning. Hold your Bible up, my friend. Oh, that's a wonderful picture. That's God's word. And I want to read it to you in a moment. From the Gospel according to Luke. By the way, did I tell you, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 16. As you're finding your place in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, I would remind you that as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. And the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book we call the Bible. I read from Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse number 19. Every one of these words are words of Jesus, so I want you to listen very carefully. Every word is meaningful. Please listen carefully. I read after we pray. Father, we are grateful today for thy kindness and blessing. Thank you for every good and perfect gift, for Jesus Christ our Savior, for the church, for our friends, for our family, for this great book that we call the Bible. And I pray that as I read it, the Holy Spirit would implant it, every word of it, every syllable, every letter, in the hearts of every person in this room. Bless our dear widows and widowers this morning. Bless those that have lost loved ones in recent days. Comfort them. Those in hospitals and nursing homes and everywhere else, their private homes, wherever they are today, bless them. And for those who do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, may they not fear today to come to trust Him as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. The Gospel according to Luke, Jesus speaks at verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Please don't miss this next sentence. It's very important. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember. My friend, you will remember May the 18th, 2014. You'll never forget it. It's God's day. It's God's word. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses, that is the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets, the 12 prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Why do we have such a story of pity in the Bible? Why did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, kind and compassionate as he is, speak of death, hell, judgment, eternal damnation, everlasting punishment? I believe there are three reasons why. Please listen very carefully. By way of introduction, and by the way, I'll let you know when I'm ready to start preaching. I'm still in introduction now. By way of introduction, I give you those three reasons why I believe this story is in the Bible. Number one, to prepare for life after death. Number two, to reveal the truth that how we live here determines where we will live hereafter. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a hereafter. Let the mockers mock, let the scorners scorn, let the doubters doubt. But God's word is plain and clear, it's perfect, it's right on target, and it's on this page in the Bible. There is a hereafter. The third reason, to teach us that heaven and hell are real. I know there are books and there are some theologies that tell us that hell is a state of mind. That's not what Jesus said. That heaven is only an ethereal place where somewhere we'll float around in the sky. No. Heaven is a real city. Did you know it has 12 foundations? And each foundation is made of a separate, different jewel, precious stone. Did you know the city itself is pure gold? Did you know the gates are pearl? Did you know that the walls are of jasper? Heaven is real. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Read it when you get home. The Bible tells us that Abraham dwelt with Isaac and Jacob in tents or tabernacles. And here it is. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Not only do we have that word, but John gives us a tremendous commentary in the Revelation chapter 21 where he wrote, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Second death. Death? Yes. But I have a happy note. The Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Heaven is real. Hell is real. The wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs 15:11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. And Jesus gives us a commentary and a stern warning about it in Mark chapter number 9 at verse 43. Here I go quoting Jesus already. I'm still in my introduction and I'm quoting Jesus. I love to quote Jesus. He said in Mark 9:43, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For he said, it is better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Hell is real. Heaven is real. This message is real. This book is real. God is real. You are real. Now that's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. But I promise you, I learned a long time ago, a sermon does not have to be eternal to be immortal. So just sit back and relax. There are two men in my text, the rich man and the beggar. Two men, two deaths, two destinations. Not much is said about Lazarus. We know he was poor. He was hungry. He was a beggar. He was full of sores. He was laid at the rich man's gate begging for crumbs. And you know, Jesus didn't stop there. He said, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Do you think that was for the benefit of the dogs? Not on your life. That was the only medical treatment that man got. And the dogs were better to him than his neighbors were. They came and licked his sores and brought him relief. The most important thing Jesus said about him is found in verse 22. Jesus said he died and went to heaven. He put it expressly like this. The beggar died and was carried by the angels. How'd you like to have angels for pallbearers? Carried by the angels into heaven. You see, Jesus put the spotlight on the rich man, not on the beggar. And I'm going to put the spotlight on the rich man as well. Jesus said the rich man also died and was buried and went to hell. Folks, I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. I'm not in management. I'm in sales. Listen to what it says. He died and went to hell. This is the way Jesus put it. The rich man also died and was buried. Now watch it. And in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book. And God wrote the book. With all of his wealth, he could not make a deal with God. He could not bribe the undertaker. He could not buy his way out of death. Jesus said he died and went to hell. You see, the rich man never saw beyond himself. He never planned for life beyond death. I have a personal question for every person in this room. Have you planned for life beyond death? What if you died today? Do you know that you'd go to heaven? Now, listen, Jesus is not trying to say all the poor people go to heaven, all the rich people. No, no, no. That's not what Jesus is saying. You can be rich and go to heaven. You can be poor and go to hell. They are both real. The rich man never thought about what was going to happen after they took him out to the cemetery and laid him to rest. There's one sentence in this text that really chills me to the bone. It's found in verse 19. Please don't miss it. Here it is. He fared sumptuously every day. He lived in luxury every day of his life. There are two words in that sentence that really disturbed me greatly, and those two words are every day. These two words tell us a great deal about this man. You see, one out of every 7 days belongs to God. We call it Sunday. It's in reality the Lord's Day. He fared sumptuously every day. He ignored God's day. My friend, let me tell you the danger of ignoring God's day. He did not feel his need for God, for worship, for prayer, for fellowship with God's people, for the church. He didn't feel his need for God. Every day was the same with him. God's day was no different. It was just another day. Jesus said, are you listening? One day the rich man died. Do you know what? One day they're going to say about you, he died. She died. We didn't think she was that sick. We didn't think he had a heart problem. He died. He's dead. Dead. The rich man died and went to hell. That's what Jesus said. I hasten to tell you, my friend, you have an appointment with death. It's not an accident. You may be killed on the highway. That's not an accident to God. You see, you have an appointment with death, and beyond that is judgment. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. My friend, could I tell you, you're on death row as I speak. Your execution date has already been set, and it may come up at any time. You have an appointment with a judge of the universe. There's no reverse gear in God's missile of judgment. And listen to me, there is no appeal beyond the Bible. This is the final word. Nothing added to, nothing taken from. Now, we don't know anything about this rich man's will. We don't know how much money he left, but you know what? That's not important now. Whatever he left, had he left it. I read about this very wealthy man in a small community that at his funeral, one of his friends said to his closest friend, how much did he leave? And his friend answered, all of it. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You see, 1 second after death, he was no longer a rich man. Death evens the score. Death levels the playing field. Death closes all bank accounts and cancels all CDs. Death strips a man of all his material possessions and leaves him penniless. How different this man's life would have been. How different this man's death would have been. How different this man's destination would have been if only he had listened to Jesus. I cannot stress him too much the importance of your listening to Jesus. When the writings of Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, Zeno, all of the other great philosophers have lost their meaning, the words of Jesus will live on in eternity. Powerful, perfect, pontifical. They are precious words. Pulsating words, penetrating words, everlasting words. I admonish you, listen to Jesus. Here's what he said in Matthew. Here I go quoting Jesus again. I loved. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. When I quote him, I never have to worry about being misquoted. In Matthew 6:19, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your, watch it now, treasure is, there will your heart be also. No wonder a lot of Christians got heart trouble. Their hearts are locked up in a bank somewhere. Am I saying to you it's wrong to have money? No, I am not saying that at all. But if money has you, it's wrong. It's when money controls you and everything is around money and the dollar mark. Put your treasures in heaven, my friend. I warn you, listen, if you neglect God and leave Jesus out of your life, you are destined to spend eternity in an eternal lake of fire. I give you John's word on it from Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, if you do not believe in a literal hell and in a real lake of fire, you'll have to take up that battle with God. It's in His book. He wrote it. I just quote it and let God speak for Himself. The question that has baffled the philosophers down through the centuries is this: where does the soul go at death? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to look any further than the page that I'm on to find out where the soul goes at death. All philosophers need to look at this page. It's either heaven or hell. The saved go to heaven. The unsaved go to hell. And you know what? Lazarus was alive in heaven. And the rich man was alive in hell. Very much alive. In fact, he was conscious. He was concerned about his family. He knew who he was. He knew where he was. In fact, he became a missionary. A little bit too late. He said, "Why don't you please send Lazarus to my father's house, because I've got five brothers." He didn't want to give anything to the church when he was alive. He didn't want to support missions and missionaries when he was alive, but when he was dead in hell, he became a missionary. It was too late. He said, "I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to this place of torment." Ladies and gentlemen, I've never said this before. I have five brothers. I've never named them: Bob, Otis, Doug, Bill, and Howard. Five brothers, but they're not as good looking as I am, but they're five brothers. Every one of them is saved and on his way to heaven. I rejoice because that's true. Not because they're so good, but because they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The rich man in hell retained all of his senses. Did you notice that? He had his sight. He saw Abraham. He had his feeling. He said, "I'm tormented." He had his memory. You know, eternity is a long time to remember. Son, remember. He had his hearing. He heard Abraham. He had his speech. He talked to Abraham. He had his thirst. He called for water. Here's something interesting. Lazarus begged for bread on this side of the grave. Look who's begging now. The rich man is begging for water on the other side of the grave. Not for a barrel, not for a bucket, not for a gallon, not for a quart, not for a glassful, not for a cupful, not for a teaspoonful, but just one drop of water. He retained his identity. Did you know he used personal pronouns, I, my, and me, six times? One of the most vital lessons we learn from this heart-wrenching story is there is no chance to be saved after death. Only second chance you're ever going to get is today. You've already had one chance or more. Besides all that, verse 26 says there's a great gulf fixed. Abraham said those who would like to come from go from heaven to hell can't. Those who want to come out of hell into heaven cannot. Man, listen, man has bridged his way by rocket ships all the way to the moon and to Mars. But listen, man can never build a bridge to connect heaven and hell. There's a wide space, a gulf that's there. There is a line by man unseen that crosses every path that marks the boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. You may be on that line today, my friend. Let me tell you why you ought not to go to hell. Would you like to know? You ought not to go to hell because Jesus died to save you from hell. And hell is real. Eternal punishment, damnation, fire, death, doom. Can I tell you, there'll be no stand-up comedian to make you laugh in hell? Can I tell you, there's not going to be a bartender in hell to serve you a cocktail? Can I tell you, there's not going to be any cold beer in hell? Can I tell you, there's not going to be any singing or preaching or praying or hope or Bible or mercy or grace or water or escape? There will be no rest in hell. That's what John said in the Revelation 14:11. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. Now watch it. And they have no rest day nor night. Wow. Not just no rest because they can't sleep. Of course they can't. But no rest from the fire, the torment. Oh, my God, help us. May I tell you why I know I'm going to heaven? I can tell you that 71 years ago, when I was a lad of 11, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know I'm going to heaven. My heavenly home is bright and fair, nor pain nor death can enter there. If you get there before I do, you can look for me because I'm coming too. Heaven is real. I'm on my way to heaven, not because I'm good. You just don't know how bad I really am. But I'm glad I've been washed in the blood, saved by the Savior. When I step through those gates of pearl and onto that street of gold, and somebody says to me, "How did you get here?" I'm going to say, I came by the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Two men, two deaths, two destinations. Heaven, hell, the choice is up to you. Listen to me. There are not enough devils in hell to keep you from being saved if you really want to be saved. There are not enough angels in heaven to keep you out of hell if you really want to sell your soul out to the devil and reject Jesus Christ. You see, if you receive Jesus, heaven will be your eternal home. If you reject Jesus Christ, hell will be your eternal. You'll be living in eternity in a lake of fire. Wait a minute, preacher. That's awfully plain language, isn't it? I mean, after all, this is the 21st century. We're sophisticated. This old myth about, wait a minute, hell is not a myth. And it's not a mistake. Jesus said it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you get that? Not you. You'll be intruding if you go. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. Again, I give you the last part of verse 22 and verse 23. Jesus said the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. S on it, plural. But my friend, you don't have to go to hell. Jesus died to save you from hell. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." The Bible says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I need to tell you, my friend, today, I'm giving you the Bible. Today, is the day of salvation. Today, this is Bible. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He that being often reproved, how many times have you been reproved lately? You're here as a sinner, never been saved. Could you count the number of times that you've heard a message, you've been reproved? Well, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. I must tell you, life is uncertain. Death is sure. Sin is a curse. Christ is the cure. Let me take it one step further and I'll be through. Please don't miss this. My friend, today is your day. Tomorrow belongs to God. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know what, my friend? If somebody calls around to the office about Tuesday morning and says to you, he died suddenly on Sunday night, what is the pastor going to say? Now, this pastor won't do it. I know some pastors that try to preach dead men into heaven. That's preacher talk, my friend. You can't get to heaven except by the way of the cross. Let's stand for our prayer, please. Heads are bowed, the altar's open, the invitation has begun. I wonder who'd be first to step out this morning and say, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I don't want to go to hell, preacher. You told me that if I die in my sins, I'm going to go to hell, and I don't want to go to that eternal place of fire. I want to go to heaven. That's right. Step out of your seat. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to say, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. Come on today while the Holy Spirit is speaking. While every head's bowed, please, folks, be in prayer. Folks are coming to trust the Savior. They need somebody to pray. Would you be praying for them at your seat? Or come to the altar and pray. You may be here today and need to join this church. I invite you to come. You may be here and you have a prayer burden. You may need the assurance of your salvation. You may need to rededicate your life and put it on the altar for Christ. Whatever, as we sing in just a moment. Father, I thank you for this hour, for your wonderful, powerful, precious, perfect word. And I pray that you would bless every person in this room today to be searched by the Holy Spirit, to know without any doubt that they're saved and on the way to heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. With our heads still bowed, altars open, invitation is on. Song will be sung while the Holy Spirit speaks. That's right, come on, while we sing, while we wait.